You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, it's time for the scoop, Ramona. You've never done this before. This is where we cover anything that we haven't had time to touch on yet. And since we basically have only touched on the Lakers and the college football, we'll get some other stuff in here. Draymond Green was the guest host on NBA's TNT pregame show last week, and he got fined when he said that stuff about Devin Booker, but he also made a bold statement that's not getting as much attention. He said, quote, "Kevin Durant is the greatest scorer in NBA history, not just now, but ever."
Wow.
End quote. Mike Sykes from USA Today makes the argument that Green might be right. Durant has 4 scoring titles, is a member of the 40-50-90 club, and has the 6th highest scoring average, 27 points per game in NBA history, and he's only 31 years old. But what makes Durant's case is how deep his bag of tricks gets. Before Durant, we've never seen a 7-foot guard who can take people off the dribble. He can play the post, shoot from 30 feet out, and you can't forget about him in transition. So you think about Michael Jordan, you think about Kobe, you think about Kareem. Can I make the argument, or can the argument be made that Kevin Durant is the greatest scorer ever?
Wow. You know what? Draymond Green, first of all, is going to have an incredible broadcasting career when he's done.
Right. If he wants it, he's making so much money, he might not need it. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's going to be great. He has great takes. He's interesting. I don't think he's wrong. It's hard to say that so early in KD's career because we're not basing it off stats, right? Like Kareem is the highest scoring player of all time. He has the most points, and Karl Malone, then Michael Jordan, LeBron, then Kobe, then Michael Jordan. So Durant's nowhere near that. He has to keep going. But in terms of just straight talent and scoring ability, I mean, he might be right. He's like a 6'10" guard. I mean, he can create his own shot. He can shoot in the post. He hits threes. He's incredibly efficient. Like, I mean, the only other names that come to mind on terms of like, just historically great scorers would be like Bernard King. Who was another just a guy who could fill it up all the time.
George Gervin won a bunch of scoring titles.
Alex English
won a bunch of scoring titles.
I mean, James Harden is a great scorer. He's going to win scoring titles, but I think KD has to climb up that list before we start having those kind of statements.
All right, next one's yours.
All right. All right, John, we've been talking about this all day, but the bad news is there may be no college football on Saturdays this year. The good news, there may be NFL football on Saturdays this year. Okay, according to a source with knowledge of the situation to profootballtalk.com, the NFL will likely move some games to Saturdays to backfill the games that are not being played in college football. John, are you on board with this Saturday-Sunday NFL schedule?
All right, number one, this is going to happen for sure.
Oh.
If they don't play college football, NFL is going to jump on Saturdays. They do it now, Ramona, when college football ends in December. They play games on Saturdays. Just remember that sports in a pandemic is just a TV show.
Yeah.
You're trying to create the best viewership you can. And if there are no college games and no fans, so you don't have to worry about letting the fans know that the game time has been changed, they're absolutely going to play games on Saturdays, and I think it's a great idea. I think that their ratings will go way up. I think, in particular, if the SEC and the ACC fall in line with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and there's zero college football, like nobody's playing any college football, then why wouldn't you move to Saturday? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to work. I think it's already going to happen. I was talking to a friend last night, and we were thinking about all the stuff that's going to happen in the spring. Like, everything's being postponed to the spring. And it's weird to think about, like, what are we all going to watch? Like, right now we have baseball and the NBA at the same time. That usually doesn't happen very, very much. Think about how crowded it could start getting in the spring if we also have NBA, baseball, whatever happens with the NFL, if we have college football, like there's just too much on. So I like the idea of in the fall when the NFL, I think, which is going to power through and have a season, fill up the schedule a little bit. Like, let's not have, like, it's kind of, yeah, why not? People are home. They have nothing else to watch.
All right, Ramona, you may have seen the news today that Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee for president, has decided to pick Kamala Harris.
Kamala,
thank you.
Yeah.
As his running mate. It brought up an interesting story over the weekend. Maureen Dowd, the New York Times columnist, wrote a column over the weekend that included this nugget. Quote, "It's hard to fathom, but it's been 36 years since a man chose to put a woman on the Democratic ticket with him." She was talking about Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro, who lost to Ronald Reagan and George Bush in 1984. The problem is that she completely forgot that Hillary Clinton ran with a man 4 years ago. Now, Funch.
What was the Hillary tweet?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. I'm getting there. Hold on. Funch, don't look it up. Do you remember who Hillary's running mate was?
No, I don't.
Lindsay, do you remember?
Wasn't it Joe Biden?
Nope. Ramona, you remember it because you saw the story. I had to look it up.
I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth.
I did not remember either.
And I'm a political nerd.
It was
so unmemorable. I was like, who did Hillary pick again? I can't even remember.
It was Tim Kaine from Virginia. And Hillary was quick to tweet out after Maureen Dowd wrote that line. Hillary said, quote, "Either Tim Kaine and I had a very vivid shared hallucination 4 years ago, or Maureen had too much pot brownie before writing her column again." So here's my question, Ramona. Is it a big deal that Dowd forgot about Hillary, or is it forgivable since none of us remembered it either?
Okay, so two answers to this. It's a big deal. It is an absolutely really big deal. Like, that's an embarrassing mistake because Maureen Dowd is one of the best columnists in the country. She's, like, so highly respected. Right. She writes for the New York
Times. Actually,
like,
there's actually a history between Maureen Dowd and the Clintons.
Yeah. There definitely
She wrote a
is.
Lot of Lewinsky columns back in
yes,
the day.
Yes, back in the day. So that is part of it. Now, the hedge that Maureen actually wrote, it's been 36 years since a man picked a woman to be
semantics,
on the ticket.
Semantics, but you're right.
She's right. It's not Hillary is the woman who picked the man. So, okay. It is right. So it's semantics, but I think it's, what I thought was so, I blame the editor. I mean, my goodness, this is what you're there for. You have one job,
but
catch things like this,
but
please.
Wait, yeah. But isn't your business losing checks and balances and losing editors by the day? I mean,
yes.
Isn't it,
and like, listen, I have this happen to me all the time where I have a new phrase, which is like, so you write a story and you get something wrong and it's so, you're always embarrassed. You like to try to correct it on Twitter. You go, I'm sorry. I messed that part up. I used to be really bad at spelling people's names. Like when I first started my career, I would just be like, I would just Thompson, and I didn't say, can you spell that for me? You know, because if you don't ask, there's going to be a weird spelling, okay? I was terrible at it, and I was always, and I just finally said, I've got to work on this. I cannot count on any editor to backstop there, and that's what their job is, but they're not going to know, and I can't count on it.
And
it's my name
is on the
byline.
Story, right.
So ultimately, I do feel like Maureen's editor is more at fault than anyone here, because that is literally your job. Please save us from these embarrassing mistakes. But it's her name on the story. It's her fault. It's very embarrassing.
I remember that I used to send notes to people.
Yeah.
Like if I saw something in one of your stories that was misspelled or factual, I would say, hey, just so you know, I don't know if you care about stuff like this, but so-and-so's name is misspelled or blah, blah, blah. And most people like took totally in the spirit that it was intended. But other people were like, screw you. Why are you pointing out mistakes? I thought it was so I stopped doing it.
It's good. You should always
do it. I don't
do it
anymore.
But I'll tell you what, the best copy editor in the world, Twitter.
There you go.
If you make a mistake, the Twitter copy editors are going to get you.
Twitter police are going to get you. Fine. All right, it's you, Ramona.
All right. Well, Urban Meyer was doing an interview today. And in the middle of his interview, an unidentified big dude, we'll just call him a big dude, was seen just walking around in the shot with his shirt off. Okay, so he's doing an interview on the Big Ten Network, and there's a random dude in the background with his shirt off walking around. you can kind of see Urban like gesturing hit to the guy to like move out of the shot, but they just kept on going. So my question to you is, John, what is the weirdest thing that has happened to you while you were doing a live shot? Sort of like somebody walked into your shot, something somebody said, some element, it started raining. Was it windy? Like, what's happened to you?
Okay, so it wasn't me. I mean, I have a few that were a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But the all-timer is we used to keep a blooper reel at Channel 2 when I worked at Channel 2 with the great Jim Hill. And one year in the 80s, Jim is going live from the Dodger locker room when they clinch the pennant.
Oh, no.
And
I'm
so
scared.
You know, Jim is always the best dressed man in LA.
Always, yes.
Okay, and the cameraman is trying to keep the shot kind of wide so you can see the revelry going on.
Yeah.
Like, you can see people celebrating and popping champagne bottles. And Jim's got relationships with everybody, and he calls over Pedro Guerrero.
Okay.
It's Pedro. And Pedro walks over to him. And Pedro has a towel around his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
But let's just say, Ramona, that towel was supposed to be around his waist.
Oh, boy.
So he's standing bottomless.
Oh,
and
no.
For a good 10 seconds, the cameraman doesn't realize that the
what?
Shot starts at his knees. So you see everything. Full frontal. And
wow.
Somebody back in the control room got to the cameraman, and you see him do like the fastest zoom in ever.
Oh my gosh.
But we had, well, the most famous one that involved me is if you just go on YouTube and type in two
words.
Oh,
I know this one.
Shaq swears.
Yeah.
You'll hear me interview Shaq after a game in Toronto, and the refs were like letting everything go. And the Lakers won by 1 point. And I'm only allowed to take a player when they win.
Yeah.
And Shaq is barking at the refs as they're walking off the court. And so I say, Shaq, this was hard fought. The refs let you guys play at the end, but you guys pulled it out. How did you do it? He completely ignored the premise to my question.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Funch, you could probably pull this up on YouTube. Just type in Shaq swears. And you can play it, but just make sure you listen to make sure if it's beeped.
I got it right now.
Is it beeped?
It's beeped.
Okay, here, Ramona, here was what happens if you type Shaq swears into YouTube.
I know you were frustrated at how the officiating went down the stretch there, but you guys pulled it out and was a big win.
David Stern, I wonder why the league is losing money. That's why. People pay good money to come watch these athletes play, and they try to take over the game.
Shaq, we're on live. I know. Let me ask you this.
So I said to him, Shaq, we're on live. And he said, I don't give a blank.
Double down.
Okay, so Lindsay, have you ever heard this story before?
I have not. This is the first for me.
Okay, so here's the kicker. Sue Stratton, who was the longtime producer director, award-winning producer director of Laker games for 35 years. Sue's in my ear. I got, you know, Ramona, you do sideline, so you know the truck can tell you. And Sue's in my ear, and she is literally screaming at me. She's like, and I'm like, do I keep going? If I end the interview now, Shaq is going to get fined, and it's going to be embarrassing. So I asked him another question. He calmed down. He stayed with me for like 2 minutes, gave really thoughtful answers, and I ended it. And afterwards, I was told, my boss from the station called me and goes, we're going to get fined $500,000 for each one of the violations. So violations for the first, when he said, effing game, and I don't give a blank. It's $1 million. And I said, well, I don't know how else I could have handled it. And they go, so long story short, we didn't get fined a penny. Ramona, you know why, right?
I think I do, but I'll let you tell your story.
Lindsay, do you have any idea why we didn't get fined?
Because you had time to dump it, maybe?
No, there was no 7-second delay.
Nope.
That interview was the reason KCBS put in a 7-second delay after that. I cost the station millions because they had to do that. But later that day, we were owned by CBS, CBS KCAL. Later that day was the Super Bowl. And it just happened to be the Super Bowl where Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake had the wardrobe malfunction.
Yep.
So we got fined for that, but not the Shaq thing. Shaq did get suspended for a game and lost like $250,000. And I go to the back of the plane to apologize to him, and he goes, he didn't even care. He's like, oh, he goes, if you interview me today, I'd say the same thing. You know, those guys are like totally defiant. But so that's the honest answer to your question. That's when the wheels came off the most.
I don't have anything of that level. I mean, full frontal. That's kind of next level.
I'm surprised that hasn't made its way to YouTube, but it's in a blooper file at Channel 2.
Oh, we should find it. My worst one was when I went to Australia to cover the Rousey fight. And apparently in the Southern Hemisphere, it was like November, but it was summer down there. And they get inundated with these huge horse flies. Like, it's just like, it's summertime. And I think the reason was when people settled Australia, they brought cattle and they brought other animals from Europe that were not indigenous to Australia. And the flies came along with the cattle and stuff. And so they just, there was no natural predator there to like get the flies. So in the summer, if you're walking around Melbourne or Sydney or wherever, you just get all these flies everywhere. And you don't think it's a big deal until you're on air and the entire live shot, you're just swatting your face because the flies keep landing on you. So I was like, I kept saying to my producer, I was like, what's worse? If I let the fly sit on my face and then everyone is staring at my face with the fly on it, or if I keep hitting myself.
That's
I need to see this video.
It's so bad.
Every station has one of these reels going. All right, when we come back, we will update you on the big story of the day. College football, all fall sports canceled in the Pac-12 and the Big 10.
Man.
Canceled. It's over. You'll hear from Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, as to why they made that decision and where do they go from here. We'll get into it next. Ramona in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, not only is school out for summer, now football and all the fall sports, including men's basketball, canceled in the Pac-12 through 2020. Whoa. They're done. All the fall sports are also canceled in the Big Ten. Earlier today, Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, made the announcement that fall sports are done. Here's Larry Scott.
But we're here today to announce the Pac-12 CEO group has decided to postpone all sport competition through the end of the 2020 calendar year. This decision was made after consultation with athletics directors, our coaches, football working groups, and with the Pac-12 COVID-19 Medical Advisory Committee, who expressed concern with moving forward with contact practice. After reviewing all the data and considering the alternatives, and having already delayed the start of our season and compressed our season, the CEO group was unanimous that this result and this decision was necessary.
Kevin Warren, who's the commissioner of the Big Ten, Ramona, was asked, what changed from last week when you were announcing all of these games and you were even talking about bringing fans into the stadium until today when you scuttled the whole thing? Here's Warren.
Yeah.
And I've said it from the first day that I started at the Big Ten, that the health, the safety, the wellness, and both physical and mental for our student athletes was going to be at the top of my list. And as things began to evolve, you look at the number of cases that are spiking, the number of deaths, not only in our country, in our states where many of our schools are located, but worldwide, is that I promise that all the decisions that we will make during my tenure here at the Big Ten will always put the mental and physical health and safety and wellness of our student athletes at the center. And when you look at this decision, we just believe collectively there's too much uncertainty at this point in time in our country, and to encourage our student athletes to participate in fall sports. And I take this responsibility seriously, and I will continually do everything in my power to make sure that we put our student athletes in a position to be empowered and to be elevated. but as people first and as students. And understand they're also, they're not professionals. These are amateur athletes, and they deserve an opportunity to be able to participate in a healthy and safe manner.
Now, the interesting thing about that, Ramona, is the players wanted to play.
Yeah.
The players didn't want to cancel the season, so he's going against the wishes of the players. But you asked a question earlier in the show that I thought was a good one. You said, what could one of these teams in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 go rogue, just announce, you know what? You guys, fine. You don't want to play in the conference. We're going to go find people who we can play. And Nebraska, Scott Frost, their coach, Nebraska's in the Big Ten, has come out and said, we'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere. So Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, was asked, could Nebraska play outside of the Big Ten? Here's what he said.
Again, I know what was said, and these are things that I'm sure there'll be a lot of other issues that will arise or be raised. That we'll address at the appropriate time. Today's not the appropriate day to do that. Okay. There are no games today, and I respect your question, but at this point in time, I would just like to focus on our announcement and doing the things that we need to do and should be focusing on, and not focusing on some issues, because there's so many issues that we're in the process of dealing with at multiple levels. And as you can imagine, and I know you can respect, this has been a challenging week collectively. Today's been a very challenging day from an emotional standpoint, and I'm sure the foreseeable future will be in the same way. But we're going to continually work hard. We're going to continually work with our medical people. The world's not ending today, and we'll do everything that we possibly can to make sure we'll gather information, prepare, plan, and create an environment that our student-athletes will be able to participate in when it's safe and there's less uncertainty.
So he kind of ducked the question, Ramona. He didn't, he never got around to answering it. But here's one thing. I'm going to go back to Larry Scott for a second. One thing Scott said is something you and I talked about earlier. What happens to the scholarships of all these kids now that you're not playing football? He says it won't affect the scholarships. Here's Larry Scott on scholarships.
The health, safety, and well-being of our student athletes and all those connected to Pac-12 sports has from day one been our top priority. And that was the top priority today. The student athletes that will be impacted by this, I want to be clear, are going to have their scholarships guaranteed. And we're going to strongly encourage the NCAA to support that with some of their upcoming decisions as well when it comes to eligibility, time to complete degrees, and other related academic issues.
All right, so that's good. But Ramona, I'm not so sure what happens to the other sports. They canceled all fall sports today, not just football. And I wonder if those other sports are coming back.
Well, I do too. And I think that, some of it's going to have to do with how they're funded. Are they, scholarships generally are part of the endowment. They're already covered. You wouldn't take away a scholarship from somebody by canceling the season. You would just cut the sport. You cut the coaching staff, you cut the trainers, you cut all the people that support those other sports. Either you cut them or you cut them all together, you furlough them for this year, kind of the way minor league baseball did. Like, they just don't have minor league baseball this year, so everybody working there doesn't have a job and doesn't get paid. That's probably what happens to a lot of those other sports this year. They could come back a year or two later, but it's hard. I mean, and we're going to see this in baseball too. There's not that many people who make enough money to where you tell somebody to take a year off, just go do something else or collect unemployment or do whatever, and then they can just come back again when you're ready. Most people have to move on and do something else with their lives. They just can't sit around and wait. And I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of these sports. And it's not like we're going to get football back and revenue is going to pop right back up. Like, the country is looking at severe shortfalls at the state and national level, economically. Like, it's probably going to take 5 to 10 years to dig out of the decisions that are being made right now. And I think it's really sad because, what I think happened? You asked a question, what happened the first between last week when they were scheduling games and this week when they canceled everything or postponed everything? I think the lawyers got involved. I think of the lawyers for,
yeah, I think you're right.
All of these schools and conferences said, guys, you may want to play, the kids may want to play, but we just have a huge liability issue here between the myocarditis, cardia stuff that happens to your heart when a young person gets it. We've seen a lot of cases of that. Even if you get them to play and they sign waivers, you still could have class action lawsuits later if somebody dies, or if there's 5 years later, there's effects of this disease down the road that we don't know about yet. That the legal liability of playing in a college environment is probably just too great for schools to take on right now.
Okay, coming up, more results from the NBA, and it gets us closer to understanding who the Lakers' first-round opponent will be. We'll get into that coming up. We also have Radio Tinder coming up for you. Top of the hour, Keyshawn Johnson's going to join us at 5 o'clock. Key, who's going to be the host of a new morning show, and he'll have thoughts on what happened today with college football. Of course, Keyshawn, the former number one overall pick in the NFL draft. And Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com is also going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So lots to go. Ramon is here. Oh, by the way, game of games today. Ramona, you get to play today. It's my
Yay.
Game. That's all still to come. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, and the Lakers won last night. They beat Denver in the bubble, 124-121 on a Kyle Kuzma three-pointer at the end of the game. And the Lakers now just wait to see. They're locked into the number one seed, and they wait to see who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. And Ramona, a lot of who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs is getting decided today. Portland right now is playing a game with Dallas on TNT. And Portland's up by 7, 55-48 in the second quarter. Memphis is on their way to losing again. You know, Memphis has only won one game in the bubble. Matter of fact, that game's now over. Boston 122, Memphis 107. And so if Portland wins and Memphis has already lost, Portland is now controlling their own destiny to get to the 8 seed. If Portland wins their last game, they get to the 8 seed, and then the Grizzlies could go to the 9th. Now, the sad thing is the Suns, who won again today, could go 8-0 and not make it into the play-in game. The play-in game is on Saturday. It's on Saturday at 11:30 our time. And the 8 seed only needs to win once, and the 9th seed needs to win twice. Mm-hmm. So the 8th and 9th seeds in the West play Saturday, 11:30 a.m. If the 8th seed wins, then they advance to play the Lakers. If the 9th seed wins on Saturday, then the two teams have a rematch Sunday at 1:30. So there's a whole bunch of possibilities. The interesting thing is Memphis's last game. If Memphis is going to get into the play-in game, they only need to win once, and they only have one game left. It's against Milwaukee. But Milwaukee's locked in, and most people think they won't play Giannis. So a lot of this stuff is still up in the air. Portland plays Brooklyn, and everybody thought Brooklyn was going to stink, and Brooklyn's actually kind of risen up and beat some people. And Phoenix only has one game left. It's against Dallas. San Antonio has an outside chance. They have one game left against Utah. So it's either
the tiebreakers? Who has all the tiebreakers if it all comes out like that?
Well, I've got them all in front of me. It would take me literally an hour to explain it to you. Okay. But here's what I think is going to happen. I think Portland and Memphis are going to play unless Memphis loses again. If Memphis loses again, Phoenix can work its way into the 9th seed. If Phoenix wins and Memphis loses, Phoenix is the 9th seed, and they would play Portland for the right to play the Lakers.
What about the Spurs?
All right, the only way the Spurs can get in, and it's a pretty big long shot, is they win their remaining game and everybody else loses. In other words, Memphis loses, Portland loses, today and on Thursday. And then Phoenix loses their final game. So I think San Antonio needs too much help. But yeah, they could get in if everybody loses and they win. So okay, I think it depends. Do you think Memphis is going to beat Milwaukee without Giannis?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Milwaukee's been pretty good without Giannis this year.
They've been pretty good. And I you know, Memphis is also, it's down Jaren Jackson Jr. He hurt his knee. They just lost by what? Didn't they lose like 10, 15 points today?
122-107, 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 15. I mean, I think Milwaukee beats them. I think they're limping in. And
if that happens and Portland and Phoenix both win, then it's Blazers Suns in the play-in tournament on Saturday. Suns would have to win twice. But keep in mind, the Suns would be 8-0 in the bubble.
Right.
And Portland would only need to beat them once. I think it's going to be Portland, Momo. That's what
I
it looks
it's
like.
It's going to be Portland. Yeah. And unless they, you know, really, really blow it, or somebody gets hurt or something like that. I've always thought it was going to be Portland. I just thought Dame Lillard is Dame Lillard. I mean, he is one of the best closers in the game. That's why those two missed free throws the other day were so uncharacteristic for him. But he's got that gene, you know, he's just got that ability to step up. And what people miss, though, is that Portland really hasn't been playing all that well in the bubble. Like, this should have been easier for them, but they've lost a few games they should have won. And, you know, I mean, the Clippers are, you know, they tried to hand it to them, basically, in that
right,
that
took
other
all their,
game.
Took all their best players out.
Yeah, and they just haven't been that good. And I think some of that is just Portland figuring out how to play again with all the guys they got back from injury. I mean, they got Nurkic back from injury and Zach Collins. Those guys have been out all year. And they run a totally different defense. I mean, the concepts are the same, but they've changed because you have different personnel, and now you have to work in Melo into that equation. Like, they're missing Trevor Ariza, even though Gary Trent Jr. has been good. Like, they just seem like a team that is trying to figure out how to play together. And I don't know if they have enough time to figure that out, because they haven't, even though they're dangerous, they haven't looked great in the bubble.
Portland by 8 with a minute to go in the second quarter over Dallas. The Blazers obviously need this game. Dallas, by the way, is probably going to open against the Clippers. Do you think they can give the Clippers a series or no?
No, the Clippers have owned them this year. They just match up really well with them. Dallas is a really nice young team, but that's a bad matchup for them.
All right, we'll keep an eye on this game for you. Coming up next, Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got some stuff she'll throw at Ramona and I. And then at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock, Keyshawn Johnson. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for May, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, time for Radio Tinder. Lindsay comes up with stuff that she wants us to react to. Lindsay, what do you got today?
All right, well, we're going to take a trip back to the 90s and go back to the world's last Blockbuster video store. It's in Oregon, and it's being listed on Airbnb for a series of 90s-themed movie sleepover parties. The listing can accommodate up to 4 people. It has a living room set up inside the store, complete with a large 90s-era TV, a VCR, and a plethora of tapes. What's the cost to spend the night at the world's last Blockbuster? $4, a penny more than what you would spend for a new release. Would you guys spend a Friday or Saturday evening night here? Swipe left or swipe right.
I like the idea, Ramona. I don't know if I'd do it in a pandemic. What do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of odd timing. It was like that. Remember, like, they converted that hotel to the Taco Bell resort? I'm like, that sounds really fun. Just not now.
Right.
Right? Like, sounds fun in some theoretical sense. Like, might be fun to have, like, a bachelorette party there. Maybe not bachelorette. Maybe a girls,
I was gonna
night,
say,
girls' weekend. It's a pretty tame bachelorette party. But that would be a fun girls' weekend.
But remember how much we all used to go to Blockbuster?
And yeah, now there's all the time.
Now there's one store left.
I know.
They probably had 1,000 of them back in the day. Lindsay, I like the idea, but for now, I would swipe left. Just because in a pandemic, nobody's going out.
All right, so noted. Maybe this time next year, if it's still going on, maybe we'll check it out. All right, so next one. Hall of Fame Deion Sanders is out at NFL Network. After 14
really?
Years with the company, Primetime is leaving after a contract disagreement, according to the New York Post. The Hall of Famer has expressed an interest in coaching, even recently telling Dan Patrick that he was planning to coach college football this fall. Do you guys think Primetime would have success as a college football coach? Swipe left or swipe right?
Interesting.
He had his own. I'll swipe right. He had his own high school team. I think, you know, he's one of the greatest NFL players of all time. I thought he was actually pretty good on the NFL Network.
Oh, he was fantastic. One of my favorites.
Yeah. And I actually do think, Ramona, he could have some success as a coach. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know if any of his skill set translates to coaching, you know, because coaching is such a grind. But
yeah, most great players do not make for great coaches.
They get frustrated with players who aren't as good as them. But I wish him well. That's good. I'm sad he's out at the he's a good TV analyst.
I agree with what you were saying, Ramona, though, in the sense that I know he recently tweeted about COVID-19 and the NFL players that were opting out. He was really critical of them.
Yeah.
So I feel like the fact that he kind of has that type of attitude, he doesn't seem, I don't know, I feel like he might lack like the empathy it takes to kind of mold these young college student athletes, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next. Go ahead. Oh, sorry, John. Go ahead.
No, I wonder, too. Boy, a lot of people have left the NFL Network. But I think that's probably the nature of the job. They hire so many ex-NFL players that that those guys are going to get other opportunities. And they're going to, some of them gotten in trouble. But some, I wonder, like, who do they get to replace Deion?
You can't replace him.
Yeah, that's going to be a tall order. All right, go ahead.
Apparently they asked him to, I mean, he was making probably like seven figures and they asked him to take a pay cut. So that's kind of where the discrepancy
was. We're in a pandemic. Right. I got a lot of friends that work over there. Lindsay, I know you used to work there. Our old producer, Dave Singer, works there. I just don't want to see anybody over there get fired. I got too many people I know. So if it involved taking a small pay cut and Deion didn't want to do it, I can understand why they broke up.
All right. And speaking of TV, more than 20 years after The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air ended its six-season run on TV, it's coming back. Huh. And the reboot is going to be based on a viral video that reimagined the NBC comedy series as a drama titled Bel-Air. I don't know if you guys remember seeing this video. I think it was about a year or two ago that was just kind of one of those parody trailers that kind of, like it says, reimagined it as a drama. I don't know, you know, what possessed this guy to do that, but it was a super interesting video. I encourage you to check it out. I can post a link on Twitter, but the project is currently being shopped to multiple outlets, including HBO Max, which is, you know, confusing in its own right. But I wanted to ask you guys, will a Fresh Prince reboot work as a drama? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, do they have Will Smith attached? Is he going to do
this? Yes, he's going to be involved in it.
Yeah, if he's in it, if he actually acts in it, it'd be good. I wouldn't think that a drama would work. But then, Funch, didn't you tell me one day we had a question on the air of when's the last time you cried at something you saw on TV? And Funch, you
no, it was a caller that called in and said he cried at The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Uncle Phil, his father left him or something.
I made fun of the guy, and you were you the one that told me? Either somebody told me, no, that's like people like talk about that scene all the time.
Yeah, it's like one of the best. It's like a tearjerker. It's like probably the saddest moment of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I think Will Smith is insanely talented. I think he's, you know, people don't give him enough credit. He's like a modern day Frank Sinatra. He had at times he had like the number one album, the number one movie, and the number one TV show all at the same time. So anything he's a part of, I think, has a chance to succeed. And I wouldn't normally, Lindsay, think that drama would work for Fresh Prince, but that scene, whatever that scene is, and I don't know what they're talking about, what Funch just tried to describe.
When he says, why don't you want me? That scene.
People are incredibly moved by that. So maybe it would work as a drama.
Yeah, that is a great scene.
You know, I would watch it just because I'm a nostalgia person. Like, I watched that Beverly Hills 90210 remake, and I liked it, even though a lot of people panned it. I just thought from a nostalgia standpoint, it was fun to rewatch it. And I liked that they did this whole meta thing. Like the whole remake was about them doing a remake, like the real characters and real, like Jenny Garth played Jenny Garth.
Yeah, I watched it. I was an Enter 2-1 fan. I watched the remake. It worked half the time, didn't work the other half.
Yeah, there you go. But I liked it from a nostalgia standpoint. I don't know. Will Smith's had some weird headlines lately. It was like there was some stuff about him and Scientology and all this weird, you know, like he could use a change of the subject. He could use the people reminding people of him being the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That'd be good for him.
Everybody loves nostalgia.
Yeah.
And speaking of warm and fuzzy, a Texas-based company announced that employees are being offered a stipend to adopt pets. The Zebra, a company that provides insurance comparison services, said that it has begun offering employees $300 to help cover adoption fees for welcoming a cat or dog into their family. They also encourage employees to take paid time off, pawternity leave, to help their new pet settle into their home. Would you guys add another pet to your family if ESPN offered a $300 pet stipend and pawternity leave? Swipe left or swipe right.
Lindsay, you just adopted a pet without either one of those things.
I sure did, but I don't think I would adopt another one right now. Puppies are tough to raise.
Well, yeah, Reagan's at the end of her run. Reagan's 13, and they say Puggles last to live between 12 and 15. So I think I'm going to have to get another dog. But I would get another dog even if they didn't offer me those things. Ramona, Daniel's too little for you guys to have a dog, right?
Yeah, so here's our issue. We have a cat named Beans, all right? And Beans is old. We don't even know how old because we adopted her when she was like already old. Okay. And we got the fat cat. Okay. We said we will give us an older, you know, an animal that you've had a hard time adopting. You know, as long as there's nothing like really, you know, seriously medically wrong with them, we'll give them our home. She was 23 pounds when we adopted her, John. That's a big cat. Okay. And we got her on a diet, eating healthy food. She's done really well with us. We've had a few little health scares, but she's got to be like 12 or 13, maybe even 14 at this point. She's going strong, and Beans likes to be the only pet. I don't think she would be able to tolerate another pet. Like, she's already barely tolerating the child. Okay? we bring Daniel home, and Beans like, who is this? Do you know this is my house, kiddo? You know,
right.
Like, she's not interested. She doesn't beat him. She doesn't like scratch him or bite him or anything, but like, she's not really into it either. So I think until Beans is gone, you know, as long as we have Beans, she's probably going to be the only animal.
yeah, I don't, I think we can only handle one at a time too. One is, Mason has two dogs. So we'll see. All right, Lindsay, is that it?
Oh, that's it for today.
All right, coming up, Keyshawn Johnson, the new host of the new morning show and the former USC college football star. Key will react to everything that happened today and tell us about what he's got coming up on the new morning show, which starts this Monday. Key from New York coming up next on 710 ESPN.